A long table ran down the middle of the room, leaving a blank section of floor at the far end kept perfectly clear of any clutter whatsoever. A ring of plain silver was set into the floor, my summoning circle. Underneath it lay a foot and a half or so of concrete, and then another heavy metal box, wrapped with its own little circle of wards and spells. Inside the box was a blackened silver coin. My left palm, which had been so badly burned except for an outline of skin in the shape of Lashiel's angelic symbol, suddenly itched. I rubbed it against my leg and ignored it. My work table had been crowded with material for most of the time it had been down in my lab, but that no longer was the case. At that point, I felt I owed someone an apology. When Murphy had asked me about the money from the council, the answer I'd given her was true enough. They'd set the pay rate for wardens in the 50s. But even the council wasn't quite hidebound enough to ignore things like standard inflation, and the wardens' paychecks had kept pace through discretionary funding and... My God, I'm starting to sound like part of the establishment. Long story short, the wardens have sneaky ways of getting paid more, and the money I was getting from them, while not stellar, was nothing to sneeze at either. But I hadn't been spending it on things like fixing up my apartment. I'd been spending it on what was on my work table. "Bob," I said, "wake up." Orange flames kindled wearily to life inside the open eye sockets of the skull.
"Oh, for crying out loud," a voice from within complained. "Can't you take a night off? It'll be finished when it's finished, Harry."
"No rest for the wicked, Bob," I said cheerfully. "And that means we can't slack off either, or they'll outwork us." The skull's voice took on a whiny tone.
"But we've been tinkering with that stupid thing every night for 6 months. You're growing a cowlick and buck teeth, by the way. You keep this up and you'll have to retire to a home for magical geeks and nerds."
"Pish tosh," I said.
"You can't say pish tosh to that," Bob grumped. "You don't even know what it means."
"Sure I do. It means spirits of air should shut up and assist their wizard before he sends them out to patrol for fungus demons again."
"I get no respect," Bob sighed. "Okay, okay, what do you want to do now?"
I gestured at the table. "Is it ready?"
"Ready?"
Bob said. "It isn't ever going to be ready, Harry. Your subject is fluid, always changing. Your model must change too. If you want it to be as accurate as possible, it's going to be a headache keeping it up to date."
"I do, and I know," I told him.
"So, talk. Where are we? Is it ready for a test run?"
"Put me in the lake," Bob said.
I reached up to the shelf obligingly, picked up the skull, and set it down on the eastern edge of the table. The skull settled down beside the model city of Chicago. I'd built it onto my table in as much detail as I'd been able to afford with my new paycheck. The skyline rose up more than a foot from the tabletop, models of each building made from cast pewter. Also expensive, given I'd had to get each one made individually. Streets made of real asphalt ran between the buildings, lined with streetlights and mailboxes in exacting detail. And all in all, I had the city mapped out to almost 2 miles from Burnham Harbor in every direction. Detail began to fail toward the outskirts of the model, but as far as I'd been able to, I modeled every building, every road, every waterway, every bridge, and every tree with as much accuracy as I knew how. I'd also spent months out on the town, collecting bits and pieces from every feature on my map, bark from the trees usually, chips of asphalt from the streets. I'd taken a hammer and knocked a chip or two off every building modeled there, and those pieces of the originals had been worked into the structure of their modeled counterparts. If I'd done it correctly, the model would be of enormous value to my work. I'd be able to use various techniques to do all kinds of things in town. Track down lost objects, listen in on conversations happening within the area depicted by the model, follow people through town from the relative safety of my lab. Lots of cool stuff. The model would let me send my magic throughout Chicago with a great deal more facility and with a far broader range of applications than I could currently manage. Of course, if I hadn't done it correctly...
This map, Bob said, is pretty cool. I'd have thought you'd have shown it off to someone by now.
Nah, I said. Tiny model of the city down here in my basement laboratory. Sort of projects more of that evil, psychotic Lex Luthor vibe than I'd like.
Bah, Bob said. None of the evil geniuses I've ever worked for could have handled something like this.
He paused.
Though some of the psychotics could have, I guess.
If that's meant to be flattering, you need some practice.
What am I if not good for your ego, boss?
The skull turned slowly left to right, candle flame eyes studying the model city. Not its physical makeup, I knew, but the miniature ley lines that I'd built into the surface of the table. The courses of magical energy that flowed through the city like blood through the human body.
It looks...
He made a sound like someone idly sucking a breath through his teeth.
Hey, it looks not bad, Harry. You've got a gift for this kind of work. That model of the museum really altered the flow around the stadium into something mostly accurate, speaking thaumaturgically.